If I could just.
One of the other points that's of interest is that we've projected that the retail space that we're building should pay for itself in about a six-year period.
Maybe they don't need as much money then, if they can pay for it that quick.
Mr. Chairman, just in terms of the overall concept, again, the extending beyond the jetway area of the new Concourse C redevelopment wing and out into the regional commuter parking area, the way the conceptual design is, it narrows down significantly, and then it narrows down again and extends all the way as a walking area to the international terminal. This seems like an unusual design, particularly, you know, it doesn't, you know, it's a less square feet in a from a volume area, but by going all the way, what were the reasons for going all the way to the terminal, international terminal, number one? And number two, is the design going to accommodate the expansion if you had to put another pier out there to add additional gates later? I mean, I'm kind of concerned about that.
Yes, this is Don Kittner again. I think I can respond to that. To answer your first question, the connection between the C extension and the North Terminal facilitates the movement of passengers between the North Terminal and the South Terminal. It is, as you may know, we are utilizing on a, during the construction of the terminal, we will be moving Delta Airlines operation to the North Terminal. In the long term, as we construct domestic facilities toward the North Terminal, I think we'll see a greater and greater need to provide a transit connection there between the North Terminal and the South Terminal, and to give passengers that as a walking alternative. I think that then, on your second question, in fact, the solution that was selected by the airlines as a long-term expansion alternative is to provide another concourse between what is now Concourse B and the International Terminal. We can fairly inexpensively provide a new concourse midway, a new pier midway between the North Terminal and Concourse B. And most of the ticketing and bag claim that we're building now, with some additional expansion of about, in other words, we see some minor expansion to ticketing and bag claim to facilitate and serve that new pier.
Of course.
Yeah. In fact, the design that we're looking at for 2005 anticipates the construction of that new pier.
Well, that's in 2005?
Construction of the pier would probably be needed depending, you know, depending on our traffic levels in the future. Right now we're showing the pier coming online with 8 gates to service passengers in the year 2015.
And how much is that going to cost us?
We
today's dollars.
You know, to a certain degree, it's going to depend on when it comes online and what escalation is between now and then. But I think we're in the, you know, $150 million range.
And that's, today's dollars, and about how many square feet would you, for an eight gate pier, how much would that be?
I would say that the 8-gate pier would be very comparable to the North Terminal that we have right now. North Terminal is close to 300,000 square feet. I can get that figure for you. But we're into building essentially an 8-gate facility.
What
and of course, you know, that would be a future project that again would be voted on by the airlines. And it would be triggered by actual emplanement increases that would increase, obviously, as we grow in emplanements, we would grow in revenue.
Mr. Chairman, in the extension to the international terminal, that right now, as you indicated, well, there's really no relationship at the currently, although are there any domestic flights using the international terminal now?
Yes, there are. And in fact, all of the domestic charter flights currently go through the international terminal. And And there is a connection to the regionals that we've identified, particularly during the summer.
Well, that's because the international thing.
Also, as we mentioned, on an interim basis during the construction, which will probably be a 3 or 4 year period, Delta Airlines will be operating out of the international terminal.
Yeah, but the connection won't help Delta then. How much would we save if we lopped off the connection from the end of the passenger terminal use for the regional carriers over the international terminal?
I think that the cost of that facility was somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.2
million. Ah, it's cheap.
Thank you.
But, and just one more question, yeah. I'll let you go, Mr. Sure. Chairman. And last time we met, I asked about some of the corn shell versus the finish work costs for the fit out of the premises, and particularly as it related to the office space for the operation administration of the airport and other things like that. And also, I have a curiosity about how far you've gone into any preliminary designs on the whole baggage system and how that all fits together to be able to come up with the dollar figures that's needed for the project.
Well, as we stated in our last testimony, and as you have seen before you with concept designs, where early schematic design would be a good characterization of where we are at this point in the project. We have some very preliminary ideas with regard to exactly how the baggage systems would be laid out. But I do think that we've spent enough time looking at the cost of those facilities at other airports on a square footage basis that we have adequate cost in the project to do that. Right now, the raw construction cost for the terminal expansion is about $142 a square foot. We recently got a report from, I believe it was ACI or AAAE, that shows that that was compared fairly favorably with other terminal projects nationwide.
That was just your corn shell cost, though, wasn't it?
Well, no, that's what I would call my raw construction cost. In other words, that would be the cost of the bid packages themselves for the contractors.
But it would,
actual construction cost.
Yeah, but it wouldn't include the finish work detail and the other fit up for the items inside.
That cost per square foot would include finishes, except for those areas that would be leased as a shell area.
Okay, so it does include it. Well, that's not a bad price. And last thing, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Mr. Halper indicated he was looking at the preliminary project cost with the extensions. Did the committee get copies of those figures?
What is that?
Love to see numbers like that.
We will furnish them for a first meeting. Kirk, you had some.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Representative Roachberg. You asked a question about the office space, and in your packet of questions, there is a response to that.
I know, that's not the response, though.
The office space will be the same, approximately the same space as currently being used.
My question was, how much was that going to be, and how much was allocated to the finished work cost of the office space? That was the question I asked last week.
Finished work cost.
Breaking that out.
We're going to wrap this up here in about 6 to 8 minutes, and I'd like to go to the speaker now, and then Representative Ryan, and I'll have one last question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I don't need any of the answers today, but I would like them answered, please. I appreciate your answers on the baggage claim system. I appreciate your answers on the glycol disposal areas and the recycling center for the glycol, but I would like to please have the minutes of those meetings. I understand you're going to try to make a determination by next January, and I would like to have the minutes of those glycol recycling minutes, please, sent to me. I'm real interested in that. I have three questions. Number one, the airport operating agreement expires June 30th, 2000. What's being done to renew this and get a new agreement going? Number two, in light of all the major expansion required and apparently all the future projects that you are looking at, did anybody do a cost analysis of starting over at ground zero with a brand new terminal project? on the other side of the north-south runway. And in conjunction with that, I would like to for you to send us a list of all the possible projects that you have on your drawing board for the entire airport to cover the next 25 years. And then what I'm trying to get at is the cost analysis of just starting it over with a brand new facility. And my third question is the tower facility satisfactory for the proposed expansion? Thank you very much. I'll wait till next time.
Rep. Dave Ryan.
Well, I'm looking, perhaps I should have given this more study earlier, the terminal and airside redevelopment sketch that you have in the document you first presented us in the booklet. Representative Roper's questions brought this to mind. That extra, trying to think of the term you used, concourse, is more bang for the buck. You get eight parking slots for jet aircraft, where we're only going to get four in this area. But the big thing, in large airports with a heavy volume of traffic, they segregate general aviation and commuter, and in some places they restrict general aviation traffic and the commuter traffic, and they have their own smaller runways and their own facilities, and they keep the little guys away from the big guys, because startup on a jet, just the initial jet blast from moving the inertia of the aircraft, getting the thing rolling, is enough to take smaller aircraft and turn it into a pile of twisted aluminum. So has there any consideration been given to segregating the commuter and the general aviation traffic away from the big guys and get them so that they're not commingling?
We have anybody to answer that?
Mr. Chairman, we'll be happy to provide that answer to the committee.
And is that your question, Bill?
Yeah.
Thank you. I have one last on page 8, and maybe, I'm not a real expert in finance, but on the question, the last question we asked the last time around, we asked, what prioritization have you done to achieve a scale-back scenario if there was 100 basic point rise in the interest rate? And I think that that 100-point rise in the interest rate, I think, equated to $30 million or something to that effect. And your answer was the plan of finance provides for a 100-basis-point cushion in the size of the bond. No scale-back scenario would be required for a 100-basis-point rise. So it seems to me that we have a $30 million contingency plan potential right here. If and I don't know if you agree on that, but that's kind of the way I look at it. Yeah, what would you do with the money?
George, are you online? And
yes,
could you briefly respond?
I think the reason there's some confusion is because there are a couple of different concepts. There are a couple of different factors that are coming into play at the same time. First of all, the $30 million number is a reference to the cost of a 150 basis point increase in a $100 million portion of the financing if we were to split it into two pieces and we were subjected to a interest rate increase in the interim period of time before the second bond issue. So that's what that reference was from. The reference here about the 100 basis point cushion is a comparison between current interest rates and the assumed interest rates which were put into the financial model at the time that we ran it. As I said in my last testimony, we included interest rates that were 100 basis points higher than the rates at the time because we were and are experiencing 20 to 30 year lows in the interest rate market, and we did not feel that it was correct to assume that we would have access to those rates. We hope we do, but we didn't think it was fair to assume access to those great rates when we were showing the airlines what their modeled rates and charges would be. And lastly, in terms of the question of what would we do with the money if we were fortunate enough to have access to the current interest rates at the time we actually went to market, we would, on the issue of interest rates and every other aspect of the financing, we will do the absolute most efficient job at the time that we go to market, and any savings that result will result in lower debt service payments that will be in effect for the next 25 years, and that will be locked in at the time we go to market, and that will result in lower rates and charges.
Okay, that was maybe a good answer, I don't know, but could you put that in writing maybe so we could have it on the next, so we maybe study that?
Absolutely.
And we're going to have to wrap this thing up here. Another question that came up, and you don't have to answer it now, but whose design concept is this, and did did Airport tell the architect what it wanted, or did the architect come up with this idea? That's, you know, kind of where we're at. And I'm going to shut this meeting down, and hopefully you'll get these answers. I'm going to just recess this meeting to the call of the chair, which I anticipate to be 8-10 days or something till we get a chance to get all of this. And again, the airport people, Marco will develop some questions from what we had tonight after we can absorb what we got 2 hours ago or whenever it was. And I know that there were a lot of questions and you worked hard on it, and we appreciate that. So with that said, we're going to recess this meeting to the call of the chair.